Good morning and welcome to our full year 2021 earnings result presentation. I'm Daniel Lozano, Chief Strategy and Capital Market Officer. Here I have with me David Ruiz, CEO and Chairman of Grenergy Renewable, and Maria Rodriguez Gismero, our Sustainability Director. At the end of the presentation, there will be the Q&A session, where you will be able to ask if you have any that. So now I hand you over to David.
Okay, thank you, Daniel, and good morning, everyone. And thanks once again for attending our presentation. Right, as Daniel mentioned, we have structured the call to allow for a Q&A session after the presentation. So we'll try to take no more than 30 minutes of your time. As we have been doing in recent presentations, I'm going to start looking at the highlights and main figures of the period. And after that, Daniel will be presenting the financial results, and I will then be back again to walk you through the status of our pipeline and introducing some very important deals concerning our strategy for the next few years. Maria, our sustainability director, is here with us. We'll be wrapping up, providing an update on the progress of our ESG Action Plan 2021 and presenting very interesting news concerning ESG ratings. So let's get started with the key highlights of the period in page number three. 2021 has been a transformational year for the company. All has been quite as planned and expected, but still it's quite remarkable to see how the company has nearly doubled its size in many indicators in just 12 months. And I have to say, we're very, very happy and very proud of this achievement. And we really appreciate the effort made by our team. We now have 250 employees, up from 190 at the end of 2020 and 140 at the end of 2019. Back to, going straight to the financials, our EBITDA, we have achieved an EBITDA of 41.4 million euros. This is 75% up from 2020. Net profit of 16 million euros. This is 1 million more than last year. Revenues have doubled to 220 million euros. This is, and I'm moving to the next slide now to, so we can see the split of these 220 millions and how the profile of the company is changing quite rapidly from build to sell deals, which this year accounted to 60 million to build to own IPP activity. So coming from zero in 2020, we had 20 million energy euros in energy sales in 2021, but let's consider we are in a much higher run rate now with more than half gigawatt operational. And we have a very intense activity of new plants getting built for the build to own division. It is nearly 140 million euros just in 2021 compared to 40 million euros in 2020. And we are expecting a much higher figure this year in 2022. All these CapEx works will increase exponentially our energy sales and EBITDA coming from those sales quarter by quarter during the next few quarters. On the balance sheet side, the company is also changing quite rapidly. Our equity has more than tripled from 48 million to 160 million euros. The figure of total assets has also doubled from 258 to more than 600 million euros, and the net debt jumped from 110 to 236 million euros, but reducing our leverage and corporate leverage ratios considerably from 2020. To some extent, I think all this transformation has been possible also due to two very important deals we have successfully achieved in 2021 in the capital markets. On one side, the capital increase of 105 million euros we accomplished in March in last year, which secure our equity needs until 2023. And also quite important has been the issuance of up to 100 million euros in green commercial paper. Is the first program of this type made in Spain, and we made the first issuance of 40 million euros back in September. Going to the operational execution, some very important highlights in this presentation. On one side, our entry in Poland to enlarge our footprint in a European platform. We are now already present in four large markets in Europe, in Spain, UK, Italy, and Poland. And well, also, and this is obviously the main headline of this presentation, our entry in the United States through the acquisition of a 40% stake in Sophos Harbor, a local US developer headquartered in Birmingham, Alabama. It's really a very important deal for us. It's the first time we partner a local an external local company to enter a new region as part of our growth strategy. And I will later spend a few minutes explaining you the highlights of the deal, which is really, again, an important milestone for Greenergy, which will hopefully the US become one of our main markets only a few years from now. Jumping to the key figures slide to get more detailed information about our pipeline, we can see how, including both new markets, Poland and the US, there is a dramatic transformation in our pipeline, already reaching 10 gigawatts in PV and wind projects under development, different stages of development, and close to 5 gigawatt hours of storage projects. And that's also very, very important for us. And more importantly, we are very close to the 1 gigawatt milestone. If we consider operational plants, 540 and new plants under construction, 420. And we are giving plenty of visibility from our backlog plants of already 714 megawatts. In most of these backlog projects, we will start construction works very soon, and those will be moved to under construction status. A lot of visibility also on our 2023-2024 targets from our circa our 3 gigawatts of advanced development plans, as we will review later on. About our build-to-own activity, we remain quite confident through our build-to-own. We remain quite confident on our build-to-own target for the next few years to achieve 2.4 gigawatts by the end of 2023 and 3.5 gigawatts by the end of 2024, as we reflect on this slide. And concerning build-to-sell activity, which is, you know, part of our core business, as you know, it's something we do every year. And we are reiterating our asset rotation strategy. In 2021, we finally transfer a total of 103 megawatts to third parties. It was in the low range of our yearly target, which, as you know, is between 100 and 200, but with a higher profitability than expected. So going back to highlights, obviously ESG is extremely important part of our speech of our core business, and we continue to make good progress on our strategic plan, our ESG roadmap 2023. And I'm very pleased to share that all the objectives that we had set for the year in our ESG action plan 2021 were successfully achieved. And Maria will present to you later the second phase of the roadmap, our ESG action plan for 2022. Excellent news regarding external recognition. Greenergy has been identified as a top ESG performer out of more than 4,000 companies by Sustainalytics. We are really thrilled to receive this distinction that is awarded to strong outperformers in their respective industries for their leadership in ESG risk management. We have also seen Greenergy being covered by an increasing number of ESG ratings in 2021, going from 0 to 4 ratings in just one year. And we find this trend extremely positive for transparency, and it really reflects the growing interest from investors, ESG investors in our company. And finally, over the last few months, the team has been working to put together a gender equality roadmap to fulfill one of the last objectives of 2021. As you know, gender equality is one of the sustainability development goals that we have identified as a key priority in our sustainability policy. And we are one of the very few listed companies with 50% female representation in our board. This plan is a specific plan to promote equal opportunities for women in a company from different perspectives, as Maria will explain later. So thanks, and I give the floor to Daniel for the financials. Thank you.
Thank you, David. So let's move on to the financial part. So if you move into the slide number 6, it explains how total revenue evolved during the year to reach 220 million euros, that is 94% increase year on year. The development and construction division reached 197.5 million euros compared with 111.5 the year before, mainly because of the increase in revenue due to the rotation of asset in Chile, that we have sold 11 PMGD projects, and that is a total 103 megawatt in the period. The energy sale was 20 million euros compared with zero the year before. This sale of energy will increase during 2022 as the revenue in 2021 was for the project that has been connecting during the year. So this energy division will increase exponentially the revenue. The service division as well increased revenue 47% year on year to reach in total 220 million among the three divisions. If we move into the slide number 7, it explains the EBITDA. It reached 41.4 million euros. The development and construction division moved from 27.8 million euros in 2020 to 33.1 million euros. That is a 19% increase year on year. The energy division reached 13.3 million euros within the period. And the service division doubled the EBITDA to 0.4. The EBITDA margin on sales to third parties reached 50% in the period compared with 32% the year before. In slide number 8, you will see how Grenergy invested 198 million euros during the period. There was some development capex, that 50 million euros, that is what we are investing in order to move a project from identified opportunities to ready-to-build phase. But mainly the investment has been in the project that we have connected, or we are connecting still, no? The wind project Costen and Duna Wambos, 7.2 and 11.2. Quillagua, some remaining capex, 1.8 million euros. And then, of course, Escudero's project, 112.4 million euros. And the distribution projects we are connecting and building in Chile and Colombia to reach to those 198 million euros. In slide number 9, you will see the cash evolution, corporate cash. So from a starting cash balance position of 20.6 million euros, there was, of course, the positive effect of the EBITDA, 41.4. So negative impact of operating working capital, 20, 2.8, some taxes on financial expense cash out, and minor exchange rate differences. And of course, the growth capex, as just explained. There was some short-term liquid investment, 2.5 million euros. And as you know, we had a buyback program, share buyback program to buy shares for the stock option incentive program for some key position. In Q1 2021, we have an important milestone that was the share capital increase, 105 million euros. And as David also explained, we could issue the first green commercial paper program in early September, 41.7 million euros, what the amount by the end of the year. And of course, some project debt financing, 96.3 million euros. To reach at the end of the year a cash balance position of 68.7. Finally, moving on to slide number 10, you will see that our overall leverage decreased to 5.7 times compared with 7.6 times in the previous quarter result. This is mainly because of the last 12 months, EBITDA is higher. We had a very good last quarter of the year regarding EBITDA. Still, you need to remember that we have a lot of debt of projects that we are building, and still they are not adding EBITDA or enough EBITDA during the year. So during 2022, as the project we have connected start producing EBITDA, this will have a positive effect regarding our leverage. That in reality, we will continue building projects and will remain around 6-7 times. And now I'm going to hand you back again to David so he can explain the pipeline and the new deal in USA.
Okay, thank you very much, Daniel. And well, moving to the pipeline, we are obviously going to start the pipeline update, introducing the Sophos Harbor deal we just concluded in the US. We are very lucky to have found this opportunity. And we believe there is a great match between both companies, both at the shareholders level and at the managerial level. But first of all, we'd like to explain why the U.S. Well, I think it's important to explain why we believe entering the U.S. it's a great opportunity for the company, and it's the right time. It's the largest energy market in the world. There are huge perspectives, a booming renewable energy market foreseen, and an increase in solar PV deployment. According to some estimates, well, made by the U.S. government, from the current 60, 61, 62 gigawatts level in solar, they are expecting up to even 1,000 gigawatts by 2035. And they're considering 30 gigawatts per year as early as 2023. Yeah, I think this year, 2022, they're expecting somewhere between 20 and 25. And from 2028, 2029, well, those estimates are considering even 60 gigawatts per year. So you can have an idea of how huge this market is. And there are great perspectives for storage too. And this is very important also for us. It's a market that by itself, this platform will be, this market is much larger than in PV than all Europe and LATAM and Latin America put together in the next few years. Just consider that only the Southeast region where we are going to start It's four times the size of Spain. So just, I think we can get an idea of the size of this market. Why we are entering in the Southeast, PJM and MISO, those markets? Well, we first, because we found this great company, Sophos Harbert, right? And they're based in Birmingham, Alabama. So the opportunity was really there. But also, if you look at the markets where our activity is going to be in the very beginning, it's Southeast, PJM, MISO, it's more focused on the East, Southeast. Out of the eight main markets in the US, those three markets are amongst the ones with lower penetration of renewable energy, and particularly PV, still very high percentage of coal generation, that's between 25 and 30% in these three markets. And this is really an impressive growth opportunity, right? Other markets like California and Texas are a lot more congested, and there are many more developers competing for PPAs. So we believe this, and this is very important. We need to find the right niche and the right location in the market for a company like us. And also Sophos Harbert is a well-established local company. Again, it's headquartered in Birmingham, Alabama. They have a very high quality PV pipeline of around 2 gigawatts under development. Also 0.6 gigawatts hours of storage. They have an excellent track record of more than 5 years. They have taken already half gigawatt successfully to our to ready to build status. They have a great team for PPA origination, which is something which really makes the difference in the US market. And they're led by an excellent management team. We also have a strong leading partner, local entrepreneur, Billy Harbour. He's the main shareholder of the construction company, VL Harbour International, with more than 1 billion US in sales globally. And it's a really recognized company, particularly in this area on the States. And having this fantastic partner, I think it really adds a lot of value to our investment. The operation is well, we have purchased initially, well, it's been a capital increase. So at the end of the deal, we are having 40% of the shares. And we have the option of gradually acquiring the entire shareholding of Sophos Harbert after the period after a period of 18 months, and then 3 years from the closure of the transaction, we'll have a possibility of acquiring 100% of the share and integrating this as a full subsidiary of Greenergy. So very happy, very excited, and really ready to start working hard along with our new partners and colleagues to make sure things go as we expect. We want to do things right in this new key market. We want to make sure we have the right bankable and investable projects at the right time and with the right IRR. And we're gonna really try to do our best. Moving to the next slide. New market. We are also announcing a new market in Europe, European Union, which is Poland. We have been working on this very promising market for a while already, and we've been carefully recruiting the right team. The team is already in place. We have a team of 5 people now, and we are going ahead at full speed. It is a unique market, 72% coal still, so this has to be definitely replaced by wind and solar in the short and medium term, and this is the main driver, along with a growing economy and increasing energy needs. The size of the market is 164 terawatts. It's way bigger than countries like Chile and Colombia, only around 25-30% smaller than Spain, to give you an idea of the size of the market. We already have 600 megawatts under development, 120 early stage, and the rest are identified opportunities. So we really believe it's the right choice at this time to complement other markets in our European platforms. Going to the next slide, to give you an overview of how our global footprint looks like. It's already 10 gigawatts. I think this is no more, no less than what we believe we are going to need in the next few years, both for our build-to-own and build-to-sell targets. And the more diversified, I think the better. We now have 10 countries in three platforms, European platforms headquartered in Madrid, Latin America platform headquartered in Santiago de Chile, and now we will have a great platform under development headquartered in Birmingham, Alabama for the US, okay? We have operational plants in six countries so far, five countries in Latin America and Spain. We are delivering, as you know, close to 2 gigawatts extra in the next 24, 30 months. This is mainly coming from Spain, Chile, and Colombia. And all will start changing in 2024, where we will try to keep, obviously, our activity in Latin America and Spain, but we will be rebalancing and bringing in a consistent delivery of projects from the US and from the rest of Europe, right? And also there are great opportunities for storage in all regions. And as you know, we are very sure that this will become a very important part of our core business as early as 2025. Moving to the next slide. Well, you know this, you're quite familiar with this slide. We are giving visibility we are updating this every quarter. I don't want to spend too much time here. Well, you know, in this table, we are always showing our pipeline by region, by market. Now we are, if you look at also giving a summary of platform by platform, total USA, total LATAM, total Europe. It's very, you can see in this slide very clearly in which markets we are more mature for us, like Chile, Colombia, Spain, and in which markets we are working very, very hard in the medium and long term, right? Like several other markets in Europe and now the US, okay? It's moving to the next slide, storage. Well, again, we are very excited to have opportunities in every single market. We are starting quite hard in Spain and Chile and the UK. As we explained in our last presentation, now we have our first storage development in Italy. We are really strong believers in this segment, and there's a great chance of achieving deliveries as early as 2025. Our storage team has been reinforced, and again, we are not tired to insist that there is really a great opportunity coming up in this segment. And finally, before I give the floor to Maria for ESG, well, pages in slides 18 and 19, we always are very transparent about what is coming up in 20. I think we are giving a lot of visibility on our targets, our 2022 and 2023 targets from the plants we have under construction and the backlog plants. And look at the next slide, advanced development, close to 3 gigawatts. And I think already several projects coming from new markets like UK, Italy, and now the US. So I will be very, very glad to give more information in the Q&A session. So thanks very much. And I give the floor to Maria.
Thank you. Thank you, David. As you all remember, last February, we announced our ESG action plan for the year, and we've been updating on progress on every quarterly presentation of the year. We had two last objectives scheduled for Q4, and with its achievement, our company successfully accomplished all the objectives that we had planned for the year. The first objective was the development of a gender equality roadmap, as David mentioned earlier. This really responds to the priority given by the company the sustainability policy for the United Nations SDG 5 of gender equality. The roadmap was designed for the next couple of years and addresses key issues in promoting gender equality, such as gender pay gap, selection and hiring, professional development, evaluation of the working environment, as well as training and awareness, among others. In order to meet the social action plan objective, the company defined the basic principles and the strategic lines that together set the framework of action and guide us in the identification of social development initiatives. The basic principles include the establishment of a frequent and flow communication with local communities, something we believe is really essential, the pursuit of medium and long-term value creation, flexibility and adaptability to the social local reality in collaboration with local organizations, as well as the importance of values related to ethics, transparency, and respect for the traditions of these local communities. Additionally, the company developed also a procedure for the identification of social initiatives, which ensures alignment with these basic principles and strategic lines that I just mentioned. So moving to the second slide, please. And as already mentioned, the team worked hard in 2021 to complete successfully the ESG Action Plan 2021. And we are now excited to present our ESG plan for 2022. So with the commencement of this second phase, we continue to make progress and to advance in the implementation of our strategic plan in sustainability, what we call our ESG Roadmap 2023. As in the previous plan, you can see actions are proposed covering our five strategic areas: governance, alignment with our ESG goals in the strategy, ESG risk management, ESG impacts, and communication. And this year, we renew our commitment to update on progress of this plan at our quarterly presentations, as it was done throughout the year 2021. And finally, in the last slide, and as David mentioned earlier, we experienced an increase in coverage by ESG ratings and sustainability indicators in the last 12 months from different agencies. And we obtained very satisfactory results, I believe, so far. And just recently, we are excited that our company was recognized as a top ESG performer by Sustainalytics. This is a distinction, really, that is awarded to companies that are leading in ESG risk management in their own industries. As previously informed on the coverage received by MSCI, and we highlighted a score 8.5 out of 10 received in the corporate governance front. And in 2021, we were called to participate in the most prestigious global climate change disclosure system, which is CDP, most of you will know, and obtain a B- score that is above the renewable power generation sector average. And in addition to this climate change score, we also received a separate supplier engagement rating of B. And this will be all on my side. David, you want to take it from here?
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Maria. So I think we can move to Q&A.
Yes, please. Now we are moving to the Q&A session. If you have any questions, please send a direct message to the administrator using the chat available in the tool. Just let him know that you want to ask a question. You don't have to write it. There are many analysts, so if you can ask one or maximum two questions, it will be really appreciated. So I think we have now Fernando Garcia from RBC. Fernando?
Hi, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. So thank you for taking my questions. I have three. So first one is on installations pipeline. I want to know the difference of 60 megawatts between 2021 install capacity and the 600 megawatt company guidance for 2021. Then looking for 2022 installations, could you provide details about the Teno project in Colombia? What do you need there to get a ready to build phase? And same thing for Tabernas project in Spain. No, I think that there, what is missing is the environmental permit. So if you can provide any detail, when do you expect that? No. Second question is in terms of financing. Do you see any change there in terms of interest rate costs, the leverage that you can get in the projects versus what you have in 2021? And final questions is regarding the margins that you are getting in fund downs. If you can provide any detail there in terms of valuations in the deals that you completed in 2021. And maybe, I don't know if you can provide any color about the conversation that you are having on about the deals that, that you expect to complete in 2022. Thank you.
Thank you, Fernando. I'll try. I think there are going to be many questions, so I'll try to be very specific in the answers, right? Well, first question about the installations. What are we missing? Well, we are, as you know, in our latest update, we were considering 600. We finally made 530. We're very close to complete the 600, but well, for some permitting reasons, mainly we didn't make it on time. This is due to some, I think, some plants that are still under final commissioning in Colombia, 24 megawatts, and Chile, part of they're here in this 193. So these plants will be completed very shortly and are part of our package of 72 megawatts in Celsia in Colombia, and 130 we financed with Netexis. So this has been the difference. Now we are the rest of the plants under construction are for our 2022 target. Going to your second question about Gran Teno. Gran Teno is not based in Colombia, it's based in Chile. I'm sure you know, but by and Tabernas. The situation of these two parks is different. That's the reason why we haven't moved Gran Teno to backlog. But Gran Teno is fully permitted, so we can start really anytime. But well, the PPA is a bit more complex, the structure. So we are still trying to find the right finance for this project. I think the moment we do it, it will move very quickly from advanced development to backlog and from backlog to under construction, right? So we still plan to definitely start the construction of Teno before the end of this year. And it will be a plan that we are definitely we're considering this plan for a 2023 target. Tabernas, it's, well, as you know, the main... one of the main issues now is permitting in Spain. It's been a problem for a while. I'm not saying the permitters, we are getting the permits, but we are not getting them as early as they should be. And well, the government gave some 9 extra months for obtaining the DIAs. And in some cases, the administrations are getting a bit more relaxed. Anyway, we are quite confident that we will get the DIAs for Tabernas as early as next month. In total, there are 6 plants. I think half of them will get the DIAs in March and the other half in April. So we are already about to start ordering the trafos and interconnection line, which is what normally takes longer. We need 8 to 9 months. And we are definitely looking at construction of this plant in the second semester. It will be built in using fixed structure instead of one axis. So it's definitely much faster. Apart from the panels, the rest of components are made in Spain. So going to the third question about financing interest rates. Well, we do see an increase in interest rates in US dollar denominated finance. There is not such a big increase. There is really a small increase in the euro-denominated project financing for senior debts. Concerning the leverage, I think it depends a lot more on the PPA you have. And as we have been mentioning, the PPA's prices have been going up quite recently. So this helps moving up your revenues also definitely the merchant prices whenever there is an exposure of merchant, as is our case. So the leverage keeps consistent, same for senior debt in countries like Spain, between for integrated players like us, between 70% and 80%. So no changes there. And the very last question of farming down, we keep having very consistent margins in the region of about 40%, including the transfer of shares and the construction of the plants. And the assets are in extremely high demand, so we don't really expect a change anytime soon on those percentages. So thank you.
Thank you, Fernando. Now we have José Ruiz from Barclays. Hello, José.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. I will stick to one question, respecting my colleagues. Can you please tell us the evolution of the different cost components of solar panels? As you have done in the past, which was extremely useful. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for your question. We always keep the slide on. It's not part of the presentation, but it's obviously, I knew some of the answers were going to be about this, which remains a very hot topic. And we keep updating these. We know this is useful. We try to be very honest and very transparent, and this is the situation I would say right now in euros, right? On the left hand side, you can see the cost right after post COVID at the lowest level historically of capex, and now that was the worst point at the end of I would say Q3 Q4 2021, and this is the situation we are expecting for the second half of 2022. As a conclusion, we can say that the worst is over. Modules price remain at a high level. I would say in US dollars, 26, 27 cents, right? This is at the top of the peak. They were 29, 30 at the end of last year. It's true that we were expecting some reductions in price, and it's maybe taking longer than expected. But that's the expectation we have for the second half of the year. Good news is logistics. Logistics is going down. You can see it's definitely a lot more expensive shipping one container than it was before COVID, right? But now the prices of containers, of 40-foot containers now from China to Europe, they are about 8,000, 9,000 per container. At the worst point, there we were paying 18,000, even 20,000. And the same applies to Latin America. We are now shipping containers for $9,000-$10,000. Let's keep in mind we need 3 containers per megawatt. So it's so situation, it's getting better. We are planning, we are expecting that the prices of logistics will gradually go down, and we'll get at one point. We are not expecting to go to pre-COVID levels anytime soon, but then we are going down to more reasonable levels. And if you look at the module, there are very high capacity expansions underway from all major manufacturers. There were some bottlenecks in polysilicon manufacturing. Those are kind of getting solved. So we feel still optimistic about some further reductions of price. But again, it's a supply and demand market. So demand is very strong this year. It's according to some expectations above 200. So, we will see. But we remain optimistic about this gradual reduction.
Okay, thank you, Jose. Let's move to Kaisha, Flora Tindal. Hola, Flora.
Hola. Hello. Good morning. Yeah. Hi. One question and just a detail. I was wondering if you can comment on this strategy for the new market. So given your size, how many countries do you believe you can manage? And I'm not just referring to the local teams, but in terms of central management and strategic decisions, how far can you go with the current structure that you have? And then just a detail, if you can comment on what could be the disbursement for the 40% stake in Sophos Harbert in the US. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Flora. Well, the challenge, and I like to show this this slide. It might seem we are still a small company. We are a 250 employees company. It's true that we are growing at a very good rate, and we are attracting talent, and we are very happy about the way we are doing on this in this sense. It's 10 markets, true, but we really see us as platforms, right? So again, we see Latin America as a single platform, headquartered in Santiago de Chile, which is where we are have the strongest team. And from there, we are having operations in mainly Colombia and Peru, which are the other two markets where we have a greenfield strategy. We have an operation asset in Mexico, another one in Argentina, both are running well. But we have no plans, for obvious reasons, anytime soon to grow in this market. So that's the situation in LATAM. And in Europe, it's the same. Our development team is headquartered in Madrid, but we are creating strong local teams working together with the headquarters, with the team in the headquarters. I think in Italy, we've got a team of 8 or 9 people now. I think in the UK, we are 5 to 6. And in Poland, we are ready to start with 5. And I think we will do the same in the US. In the US, we felt that we needed a different approach, that we needed an established team, an established company, because starting from scratch, it was going to take a very long time. And I think we've been very lucky to find this opportunity. From Birmingham, Alabama, we will try to find the best opportunity in the different markets in the US region, but starting in Southeast in the East States, because we believe they're less congested. So it's handling all these for a small company like us or a medium company like us is a challenge, but it's something we believe we can handle. And we also, our construction teams need to get ready for what's coming. And that's definitely something that we're looking in very detail. Your second question was about the deal in the US. It's been an M&A deal, but we have agreed not to disclose the amount of funds invested now in the company, but it's not really a very large deal. I think we will give some light it's not really affecting our cash flow dramatically. I think we'll give a bit of color in the first quarter presentation, right? We want to make sure we have the right team, and it's been more about that. And it's a long-term plan, and we want to make sure we have the right projects in there in the market, both to feed our build-to-own and our build-to-sell strategy. But it's definitely not really a big deal requesting a large amount of cash, right?
Okay, thank you, Flora, for your question. Now we have Fernando Lafuente from Alantra. Hello, Fernando. Fernando? Okay, so maybe we can move to Jorge Guimaraes from GB Capital.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
I have a question and a clarification. So the clarification would be, if you consider three platforms, which would be Europe, LATAM, and US, from your previous answer to Flora. And the question is related to the PPAs. In the last presentations, the company mentioned that PPAs were roughly 70% advanced, but we still did not have any news about PPAs. So what is taking so long to sign the PPAs? It's a matter of trying to get the best price, of course, but why is it taking so long? This would be my question. Thank you very much.
Hi, good morning, Jorge, and thank you. Thank you for your question. Looking at the map and the different markets where we are, the PPA strategy is very different from one market to another. In countries, well, in the US, it will be different in whether we are in a regulated market like the Southeast, where it will be pay as produced. You will have single, you will normally, the off-taker will be a local utility, and you will sign a PPAs for 15, 20 years, right? There are other markets like we are approaching, like MISO or PJM, right? Where it's a deregulated wholesale market, and it will be more than what we know. You can really basically sign PPAs, physical or financial, with every different off-taker. And we will all follow a very similar strategy to the one we're following now in Spain or Chile, where normally securing a PPA for 60, 70% of production and leaving an exposure of 30% if we believe this is an upside. So the strategy is different from one market to another. We also, in this slide, provide more information, right, in this column about the off-taker, about the strategy market by market. Your question is quite a good one. Why it's taking us longer to announce the PPAs? Well, if you look at our backlog, and particularly the large next projects in Spain, Ayoran Tabernas, we want to make very, very sure about the permitting before we make any PPA announcements or we sign any binding agreement on PPAs, right? We have extremely advanced conversations on both Jora and Tabernas for PPAs, but we don't want to sign, again, binding agreements until we have full visibility on permitting, right? And also the market is changing quite rapidly. What looks great today, it might be not that good tomorrow, right? So we want to have full visibility on everything. And that's basically what we're doing. But we are in an excellent position now to sign PPAs, much better than 1 year ago. But it's a matter of timing. I think in the next few weeks, if not months, we will make some new announcements on PPAs in Spain, Chile, and maybe Colombia.
Many thanks.
Thank you.
Let's try again with Fernando Lafuente Alantra. I think he's having some technical issues. Fernando.
Yes, I think I'm here now. Sorry for that. Thank you so much for the question. Just one quick question on your debt structure, David. Basically, if I look to your corporate net debt with recourse position, it's pretty much in line as of the end of 21 versus what you had in 2020. And you have invested, if I add up the working capital, around 225, something like that, million euros during the year. No, and project finance has increased in around 120, more or less, the net debt figure. So this means that you are more or less investing 50-50 corporate and project finance financing in your CapEx. My question is, I understand that this is kind of temporary, right? That part of this investment will be refinanced with project debt. And in that sense, how do you see the availability of project finance in the different regions in which you are operating? And linked to your debt structure and relating that to this presence in Mexico and Argentina, what is preventing you to sell these two assets to help finance all the growth that you have in other regions? Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Fernando. It's a pretty good question, right? And the answer is very clear. On one side, we have now a lot more cash than we had before, and we are approaching the construction works in a different way. I mean, I think a few years ago, right, we had to wait for the funds coming from the senior debt, in some cases even to start construction. Now, in many cases, we can start construction and then wait for the disbursements and a later stage. Just keep in mind that having 150 million in the bank now, in many cases, the banks are asking us for some percentage, even just to keep the funds. So we rather invest them in the working capital. And I think we wait a little bit more for cashing the money from the senior lens. And this has been the case in Escuderos. And this has been definitely the case with Natixis Finance and Bancolombia for the plans we have been delivering in the second half of 2021. We also now have other tools to finance the construction of the plans. We just also recently, as I mentioned during the presentation, issued the commercial paper. So the funds are there. We are definitely going to bring the debt structure to levels of 70-75%. But it's maybe we'll take a little bit longer, and we believe we are saving some financial costs working this way. About your question of Mexico, Argentina, well, the plants are running quite well. In Argentina, the plant is running unbelievably well. And even if it's Argentina, right, we believe we are happy with this asset. And the same applies to Mexico, right? It's the plant has been operational for a year. But it took longer to get the official COD for the PPA. It was just obtained. I think both plants are fine and they can remain in our balance sheet for a while. And well, let's see if in the future we move those assets to opportunities for build for rotation for build to sell. But we are not considering rotating these assets in the short term, at least this year. We are happy keeping them. Yeah.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Fernando.
Now we have Anis Gaya from Odo. Hi, Anis.
Hi. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you for taking my question. I have two questions, if you don't mind. First one on the US deal. So congratulations for this deal. I had a question on financial elements of the deal, but I understand that you preferred not to disclose any financial elements. I will just ask a question on your strategy there. Would you be focusing only on build-to-own project, or would you also rotate assets in the US? And my second question, I want just to come back to your 22 target of 1.4 gigawatt. I made the simple calculation. If we add your build to own capacity under construction and your backlog with the COD expected in 22, we reach slightly less than 1.3 gigawatt. At the end of 22, your target versus a target of 1.4 gigawatt. So where would we, with the missing 100 megawatt plus, would come from? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much for your questions. About the US, the opportunity is so huge that we believe there will be room for having projects to build, having projects to rotate, right? And I think it's something, it's a way we are approaching. We just want to make sure we want to go step by step in this market. I mean, we don't want to go crazy and start investing equity. You really need a lot of bonding. We will see how we approach the equity investment. I think it's not going to happen until 2024. So we might invest, approach the market through an equity platform, maybe joining forces with a pension fund or some partner for the US market. And I believe there will be many opportunities for build to rotating assets for build to sell. And but again, we think we found the right team there, the right partners, the right colleagues, and we're going to be working very hard to make sure we have the right projects, which is something essential, and the right IRR and the right PPAs, because you know, the rest is I can tell you we have 2 gigawatts, but really I think it's more about having quality projects, quality PPAs. And this is what we are wearing. I hope we have plenty of projects, more projects than we need, like is the case of Chile. And this gives us plenty of opportunities also for rotations, right? About your second question, well, it's you're just considering backlog. Some projects move very quickly from advanced development to under construction, right? And this is the case of distribution assets in Chile, which is really our main market still, right? And many projects that you will see in advanced development, some of them can move very quickly to under construction and in operation. And this is the case of distribution assets. Those assets also get built in a matter of 6-7 months. So we still feel confident. In any case, we see our targets for 2022 and 2023 as a whole, right? There is a lot of concentration of delivery of plants in the last quarter of 2022 and also early 2023. So we think it will not create a big disruption in the value of the company if some of the plants are delivering Q1 2023 instead of Q4 2024, or the other way around. But the plans are there, and we will start execution. And we are very transparent about this. So in every quarterly update, we will give information. And if there is any minor change we have to make, we will do it.
Thank you. Thank you, David.
No worries. Thank you.
Thank you, Nish. Okay, we are out of time. I think there are no more questions ahead. So thank you very much for assisting to our full year 2021 presentation. If you have any more that you can always ask to our investor relations team.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye.